AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Two people have died and at least five others have been critically injured in a charter bus crash northwest of New York City that was taking Long Island high school students to band camp in Pennsylvania. WCBS-TV's Allie Bauman reports.
Dozens of first responders rushed to the scene just after 1:30 p.m., forced to use ladders to rescue victims as the bus teetered among treetops. Some of the injured were pulled through windows. Crews also scoured the woods to find anyone who may have been ejected.
It is likely that a faulty front tire contributed to the accident.
Traffic was shut down for hours, and tonight officials say it is unclear how the bus careened out of control.
A reported leaked messages from an aide to UAW President Sean Fain reportedly shed light on the union's strike strategy against the big three automakers. The Detroit Free Press and Axios report that the messages stretch back to earlier this year and describe hardball tactics. GM responds in a statement that it's clear UAW leadership has always intended to cause months-long disruption regardless of the harm it causes to its members and their communities. Meantime, in Chicago, auto workers remain on the picket line as a union noon deadline tomorrow could kick in, sparking more plant strikes. Time is running out for House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and Congress to find a compromise on a short-term spending bill that would keep the government open past the end of this month. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
This is a fundamental and pernicious problem and quite a moment here in Congress, which is racing toward that October 1st deadline to pass all the spending bills and avert a painful shutdown. And as it races, the U.S. House has just stalled.
President Biden held a bilateral meeting with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky at the White House today.
Thank you so much. Thanks you, your team, Congress, and thanks journalists that for all your messages to your society and to the world.
Mr. Biden has announced a $325 million aid package for Ukraine. Waistlines are growing in the U.S., according to the CDC. CBS's Alexander Tin.
47 states this year had more than a quarter of their adult residents reporting they are obese. That means a BMI of at least 30 or more. And three states, Louisiana, Oklahoma, and West Virginia, now have at least 40% of their adult residents reporting they are obese.
Rupert Murdoch is stepping down as chairman of Fox and News Corp in November, but will remain chairman emeritus of the two companies. Murdoch's son Lachlan will succeed him as chairman of both companies. Home sales fell again in August as homebuyers grapple with rising mortgage rates and prices. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
All right, team. Apps on the table by 7:30 sharp.
Jalen and his catering company have a lot on their plate.
Really particular.
He needs a bigger team to continue climbing up the food chain.
Throughout this event. Hey, Mitch, was that contract for 200 or 250 people?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our hiring platform instantly connects you with quality candidates, and you can schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from the Indeed dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Exergen thermometers are the smart choice when selecting a thermometer. With children back at school, keeping them healthy is important. Got a fever? Stay home. To detect fever accurately at home, you need a clinically accurate, fast, and non-invasive thermometer. The Exergen thermometer is backed by over 100 clinical studies. Accuracy matters. Be smart and safe. Measure accurately with Exergen thermometers available at Walgreens and other participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up.
hold my hand?
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly cloudy overnight with lows around 56. Winds out of the east around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Tomorrow, slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. High temperatures reach up to 78. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 58. Partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 68.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
That's so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, here's your host, Kristen Bry.
Hello, Wisconsin! Jane surprised me this morning with our new opener.
Oh, well, you can thank Todd for that.
Thank you, Todd Michaels.
Todd Michaels did a great job.
The voice of God when it comes to Civic Media promos. Thank you, Todd. But yeah, we cleaned it up. You know, now no longer have to be finding the funniest moments to throw into the promo.
I did love that part of it, but it was very time consuming.
Yes. So now we can free you up to do other things, like host the show.
There you go.
In 7 business days.
It better be 7. Snow coming early, little one.
No coming early. Well, good morning. Good morning to you.
And you.
Good morning to everyone at home. We are continuing to update our studio. I feel like I sound like a new person on this new mic.
You do, actually. And I think I do, too.
The Civic Media engineering team has been hard at work. We are so excited about all the changes happening to the Waukesha studio. We are not having a live stream today, so please... it doesn't matter because on the live stream, they can't hear me anyways. But no video today, but we are live here in person.
Together.
I finally got to hug Jane.
Yep.
After a month, basically, since the last time I've seen her. And I've been telling you about this. So like since the evolution, it feels like on X, you know, formerly known as Twitter, I've just been less interested in posting my stuff there. And largely it's because it feels like so much of the stuff I see is so mean and hateful. And it's like, I don't have the energy to fight with you.
Sure.
And I also don't have the energy to debate whether or not I should engage and respond to the crappy thing you just said to me.
Is it worth your energy?
Because the number one thing, more than having like a glass of wine, my doctor told me, she's like, keep your stress levels down. Like, and she literally said, she's like, not first trimester, but second, third trimester. If one glass of wine will help you not feel as stressed, that is better.
Oh, so, wow.
So that's been kind of my calculus here. I was like, oh, like less Twitter time engaging with people that you, especially people who don't even have like their name and their picture attached to their profile.
Right.
Better. But I ended up because I was actually really, I liked the, summary, I would say, that I made yesterday on what the red flags are with the new proposal being voted on today on nonpartisan Iowa-style redistricting that Robin Voss and the Assembly Republicans introduced, well, drafted at 3 a.m. on Tuesday.
As one does.
Introduced on Tuesday and are voting on today.
1 o'clock.
So I made a little summary video about it, and I finally decided, I was like, all right, I'll post it to Twitter. And James Widgerson, who's a longtime, not an anonymous account, but longtime conservative writer, never Trumper, pretty interesting guy in general, I would say, as far as he's very opinionated, but and not and sticks to his guns as far as what he thinks, you know, the Republicans should be doing, Democrats should be doing. And he responded to my video. So what's the plan when you get nothing and Protasiewicz is sent to impeachment phantom zone? And I responded, so the only two options are this proposal or impeachment? And he said, well, Evers could pick up the phone and take Voss up on his offer to negotiate. I know, that's crazy talk. So my question this morning is, should Evers negotiate with Voss over this? Because at least in sentiment, Voss has said that he is willing to... Because the big hang-up here that is the difference of true nonpartisan redistricting is that in this proposal, as written, if the assembly with a simple majority rejects the maps twice,
yep,
they can still just draw the maps.
Yep.
And there is no part like there is in the Iowa in Iowa's law that it escalates to the Supreme Court. Like there's like a lot of cloudy, like that part's not really
clear.
Like what happens if the legislature draws the maps? Then what happens? Like that part's not written in this bill. And so, because I have heard, and granted this is hearsay, I have heard that Tony Evers, and granted he came in on the lame, you know, the lame duck session that took away some of his powers. And from the get-go, it has not been a, it's not been hospitable.
No, I think that's a, that's an accurate and fair description.
And so... whose responsibility is it to be the bigger person for us to move forward? Is it Evers? Is it Republicans? Is it ever going to change? 844-967-2789. Should Evers, in this situation, be the bigger person? Should he pick up the phone and at least have try to have good faith negotiations with Robin Voss on potentially, finally, passing a bill that would get us nonpartisan maps, knowing that there's certain parts that would be like, we need to not have the legislature just be able to reject what the legislative, LRB, Legislative Reference Bureau, comes up with, and actually try to negotiate this, or do elections have consequences, and... we should leave it up to the courts. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Jane, what do you think?
Well, I find it a little disingenuous from my favorite chucklemeister, Robin Voss, because, again, they wrote this at 3 o'clock in the morning. They held a press conference, and today they're voting.
Yeah.
So, but, oh, yes, I want to talk. Let's chat. So Governor Evers picks up the phone right now before 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And Robin Voss is going to sit down with him. Seriously? Come on.
Well, and I, you know, to have the immediate reaction be almost, because it was really kind of like ba-bump in, oh, we had this press conference. And I think within a couple hours, Tony Evers put out a statement saying, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe you. I don't believe that this is, we should trust you. And that's what I had said in my video yesterday, where it just, it's, the trust is so broken.
It is.
And whether you agree with it or not, the trust was broken on the flip side during the budget process, where, you know, the crossing out and the using the line item veto and stuff like that. And Republicans claimed how much they felt like that was
misused,
but also just went back on so much of what felt like actually productive negotiations between the sales tax for stuff for Milwaukee, for the shared revenue. Some of the, even though there's still a lot of people who are upset about how much funding voucher schools got, but that was seen as a negotiation, right? Like there was some productive negotiations that happened with the budget this year. So maybe not all trust is broken. But it just is, for the sake of getting stuff done, who should be the bigger person? Or is it just heels in, we'll take it to the courts, and right now liberals have a majority for now.
For now.
Because that is the other thing on this story, is it didn't last very long, the talks of that potentially Robin Voss has eased up on impeachment talk. Because then as of yesterday, this is such a weird story to me.
It's,
Voss consulting former justices on potential Protasiewicz impeachment. So he's basically like gathered a group of former justices whom shall remain anonymous.
Why are they anonymous?
So they can't be lobbied. So no one can bug them.
Oh, okay. Can we guess?
Well, him and Michael Gableman don't get along anymore. So I can't think. I mean, that would be my first assumption. Because I also, Abramson, Gableman, like I was not here for 17 years and before I was a child.
Right.
And so my ability to name living former Wisconsin Supreme Court justices, I would say is limited of who is in the pool of potential.
Right. Who's available.
Yes. Who is available that he, Voss, would want
on this.
This. But he's now created a group, supposedly, of potential, like of former justices to have them weigh in on. And I don't know, like, what authority do they have? How is this different than, like, what the Judicial Committee, who has authority and who has already said, and, like, we dismiss these complaints? I don't really know the legal ramifications of this, but how quickly he went from Tuesday, let's avoid impeachment.
Yeah.
We finally are on board with nonpartisan maps. Evers says no. He's like, all right, well, I'm going to create this anonymous committee that you don't get to know who's on it. And have them let me know if they think whether or not she violated any ethics rules.
And is it fair to assume that these justices are getting paid for this review?
I don't know.
I mean,
don't know. I don't think they are. I think in the WP article I wrote, I don't think they're getting paid. They're just doing it out of the kindness of their heart.
And well,
they're soft spot for Robin Voss.
Obviously.
All right. Well, we would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Who should be the bigger person? Or should anyone be the bigger person? Should Tony even think about negotiating with Robin Voss? Or should we just
let it go through the courts?
Play our chances? 844-96-PARTY. We will take your texts and your calls after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Objective and one goal is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Friday. It's the Big Ten opener on the road against Purdue. Our coverage begins at 4 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
Three can stable
As an emergency medical technician, I hope motorists can remember these four life-saving words. Buckle up, phones down. It means wear a seatbelt. Every seat, every trip. And when driving, stay focused on the road ahead. Protect yourself, spare your family, and emergency responders from needless trauma.
Do your part to help us move towards zero deaths on Wisconsin roads. A safety message, sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And we are asking the question, should Governor Tony Evers be the bigger person despite the history, despite the trust issues, and at least try to engage in a conversation about what nonpartisan maps could look like? Granted, it's a little short notice because 1 o'clock today, AB 415, AB 415, I don't know what they're calling it, which is similar to the Iowa model, is being voted on.
Yep.
I still have heard nothing. Granted, there's a lot to keep up with. I still have heard nothing from Wisconsin Republican senators. I know CBS 58, Emily Fannin and AJ Biapour interviewed Devin Lemieux, Senate Majority Leader, and I guess he visibly, or even I think verbally, stated how frustrated he was with the line of questioning. He's like, I've never mentioned impeachment. Because it's like, well, this is a pretty big story that you probably should have an opinion on.
That a lot of people in your party are kind of for.
Talking about. And
but
so,
don't ask me about it. Okay.
But I think it's because they know this is such a losing issue. And granted, so I want to get to this because I know we have some people on the line that we want to get to. But there was also a new poll that came out that finds Wisconsin voters overwhelmingly oppose unconstitutional impeachment by a 24-point margin.
Wow.
So that's more than double of what she won by.
Wow.
So we'll get to that, and we'll get more details of what that poll says after we take our first caller.
Dave from Mequon, thanks for waiting, Dave. What do you want to say? Go ahead, Dave.
I believe that Tony Evers is definitely going to veto whatever comes out of this. That's just my thinking.
What's he said?
Already stated.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said it's going to be whatever. Although when he first ran and when he talked about it, if you remember, he did use the Iowa maps as a possibility. But his maps were actually thrown out because they were considered too gerrymandered, if you remember. So the
ones in 2021?
I believe so.
Are you talking about the maps that were first accepted by the Wisconsin Supreme Court and then they got appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court?
Correct.
So that wasn't because they were too gerrymandered. That was because of the
Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court actually, I think, ruled or something. This is where I'm going to get a little bit, confused a little bit. But I think that's where, if you remember, his maps were thrown out, though. I know that there was a legal.
Yeah, no, you're right. The U.S. Supreme Court, basically, it was because of the majority-minority consolidation of districts. And so they came back. And then basically because we were running out of time, the maps that ended up getting picked was the updated Republican maps.
Correct. So what I see here is this with Voss. He is obviously, from what you just reported, you know, the 24% are saying, or you know, the percentage of the amount.
The amount of people, yeah.
It's so great, yeah. That, yeah, he's probably like, maybe we shouldn't do this. And you know what? At the end of the day, I don't think it is an impeachment because it's not criminal. Do I think it's good that she was talking about stuff before she's even judging something? I think that's a whole different issue, but it's certainly not criminal. Usually that's what you use for impeachment, is something that's usually more or less criminal or something that's kind of not.
I mean, that's what the Constitution says. It's basically crimes and corruption.
While in office.
While in office.
Right. So she said this. Well, I don't agree with her that she should have said that. She made it very clear. And again, I don't consider it criminal at all. I think, you know, when you are already predetermining something, I think that obviously shows a bias right away. But that doesn't mean she should be impeached for it.
Good to hear from you, Dave, as always. So thank you so much for giving us a call. 844-967-2789.
Hi, Escos, Wisconsin. Oh, this is Jane.
Jane, we can hear you. We do have another caller, though, so we'll get that in just a second. But we do have some texts on the conversation as far as, let me get those back up. As far as, we would love to hear from you, should Tony Evers be the bigger person? Robin Voss has said that he is willing to negotiate on this. Knowing there's a lot of trust issues here, knowing there is always politics at play, but asking you whether or not you think Tony Evers should be the bigger person. From the 715, I think Governor Evers should take a call with Voss to see what he has to say and maybe negotiate a bit, but he should stand firm on the key aspects of what we the people want. And if Voss can't agree, then send it to the courts. I kind of think that's where I'm at.
I don't hate that.
If he were to say, because it's saying, what's the worst thing that happens? As he says, well, we still want to hold up the part of the bill that they wrote that said the legislature can reject the LRB's maps and then make the amendments that they want to make. And if they don't budge on that, then he can veto it.
Yeah.
But I do feel like I land on the part of, like, if he's willing to budge on that, this is an opportunity to get the thing that we've all been, well, a lot of us have been asking for,
yep,
which is a nonpartisan redistricting process. But I think it comes back to the second part of this, which is the rush job out of all. No input from Democrats.
No input from the public.
No input from the public. No input from the administration. No input from even Senate Republicans, apparently, and still just like forcing it through. So we have a lot more text to get through. We would love to take your calls. Should Tony Evers be the bigger person and at least have a conversation with Voss when it comes to a new nonpartisan redistricting process? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll be back after this.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life, but for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and
sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner?
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger.
I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life, but for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly cloudy overnight with lows around 56. Winds out of the east around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Tomorrow, slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. High temperatures reach up to 78. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 58. Partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 68.
Give us any chance, we'll take it. Read us any rule, we'll break it. We're gonna make our dreams come true. Do it our way. Nothing's gonna turn us back now. Straight ahead and on the track now.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Jane Matt Nair is on the board. Greg Bach is here. And let's get away from the politics. Let's get away from schools. Let's have some fun and talk about the worst decisions in TV history.
So this article came across my viewing eyes. The 50 worst for 50 worst decisions made in television. An article posted by Rolling Stone, and it basically goes through 50, the top 50 worst decisions ever made in television. I scrolled through it, and what I thought I would do is I'd start with one. I'm not going to do all 50, of course, because 50, that's a long time. That's a whole show.
Because time.
Yeah, because time.
Yeah, the time thing.
But what I did was from the 50th, I looked at the one that hit my eyes, the first one, and that was number 49, which was America's Next Top Model asked contestants to swap ethnicities.
What year did that happen in?
It wasn't the 20s, or the 2020s. So it's exactly what it sounds like. In 2005, the contestants were asked to swap ethnicities, which meant that some of the white models wore blackface and others changed their skin tone, wore wigs as if to look like if they were Native American, Hawaiian, or Latinx. This, of course, it says here took place in social media I think Facebook was probably the only one. We weren't about like what we're on now. That mean this would get a person fired for even.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, this would never happen now. Because also on America's Next Top Model, didn't Tyra Banks put on like a her talk show.
She put on a fat suit.
She put on a fat suit and like existed as a fat person, and like it was supposed to be very
revelatory.
Yeah,
and people were like, are you Tyra Banks? No, I'm not. And she, as she says, she has defended the move in recent years. She didn't want to do blackface, but she wanted to see how people would deal with being a degraded race. And I'm like,
is that the term she used? Was a degraded race?
Let's see here. She said, degraded my race. Sorry, degraded my race. But yeah, I'd still just take the L, Tyra. Just take the L. And you know what I'll do is I won't go into big explanation on some of them, but I'll just say this. Don't forget, folks, that the Geico Cavemen commercials got their own TV show at one point, got canceled in less than one season. That was pretty cool.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's what, in going through this list, how many I was like, I don't remember that happened. But we would love to hear from you of what sticks out to you as really bad TV decisions, either because it was like, ooh, that did not age well, or because the studio or the network lost a ton of money. 844-967-2789. And I think we got Joe from Appleton on the phone.
Hey, Joe.
Hello, lovely people. Greg.
So good morning. Joe, what do you think is the worst TV decision in history?
I tell you this, my wife and I were very big fans of How I Met Your Mother. I think, and in many ways, it was a spiritual successor to Seinfeld. That's a whole nother discussion.
Interesting.
It started to wane in later seasons, but most shows do. But then it gets to the last season. They completely changed the setting from New York to some resort in New England. They changed the format, so the whole season, 20-some-odd episodes, takes place over one weekend. And, I mean, that just totally threw off the game, what it had been used to so far. Then they get to the season finale. I'm thinking, all right, this better pay off. And I think with the season finale or the series finale for How I Met Your Mother, the writers just gathered in a room and said, hey, you know what would be funny? If we did the equivalent of grabbing our audience by their big, dumb faces and screaming, F you! Because they undid everything that they had set up to that point. Pulled the rug out from under everybody's feet, and everybody hated it. Now, I can usually go back and watch old shows that kind of fell off and enjoy the good times. But with this, it was so bad, it spoiled the entire series, such that now when I see a rerun come on, all I can think of is, oh, you monsters. The seventh layer of hell is reserved for thee.
Boy, Joe, don't get dramatic or anything.
I get passionate about certain things.
So I have to ask then, because the other show that always pops up for me, the other like missed, like botched endings. I feel like I wasn't a Lost fan, but
how Lost ended always gets listed as a terrible ending. And that's on this top 50 list. And then the other one is like the entire season, the entire last season of Game of Thrones. Yeah. So do you have strong feelings about those, Joe?
I never watched Lost. I haven't kept up with Game of Thrones. I do hear that there are some, albeit a small minority, of defenders of the Lost season finale. I have not heard one person say How I Met Your Mother ended fine. And if they do meet that person, I know they're an alien.
All right.
Thank you very much,
well,
Joe.
Thanks so much for the call, Joe. But that's what I think is interesting. Greg, did you watch Lost?
I watched the first season. I'm sorry. I watched the first two episodes I was dating a woman at the time. She's like, please just watch Lost. And I said, all right, I'll watch the pilot. And the pilot was two episodes. And as soon as it was done, I was like, thank you. I'm done with this now.
I'm not interested. Was it like the fantasy stuff or why didn't you get into it?
No interest whatsoever. And here I will say this. My sister is a fervent, diehard defender of everything Lost, to the point where one time I was going to say something about Lost just in like, hey, I watched it, whatever. I wasn't going to criticize it. And she like jumped at me. She was so, she's like, don't you ever say anything bad about Lost or I'll make fun of Doctor Who. I'm like, I wasn't going to make fun of it. I just didn't care. Like there are fervent defenders of that show.
And I loved the show until they ruined it with the end.
With the end.
And even the last season, and it was very confusing and very convoluted to begin with. But the last season was all over the place. And the finale didn't answer so many intrinsic questions that had been part of the series from the beginning. Anybody who knows what smoke monster means will understand what I'm talking about.
Well, here's a question I have for the both of you. Do y'all remember a little show called Cop Rock?
Oh.
I don't.
Yeah.
I have no idea what Cop Rock
is. I'll give you a very quick overview. Legendary show creator Stephen Bochco wanted to make a Hill Street Blues into a Broadway musical. Everyone said no. So he said, you know what? I'm just going to make a cop show where throughout the show there are full dance and singing numbers based on various things that go on in a cop's life. It is so awful. There is a song where a guy sings about how he can get you, how he can kidnap you a child. Like,
what?
Yeah. It's ridiculous. The show was like, basically it got canceled as the first episode was being aired because they realized
cop
how
rock.
Hard they had failed on this one.
So wait, and but it was it Stephen Bochco? I'm reading this right now. So it was
yes.
Oh, like so it went like it was a real hard left turn into.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I just want everyone to dance.
Man, I don't remember that show at all, but that is really funny. We're talking about the worst TV decisions of all time. Could it be shows that were created, shows that were canceled? People that were fired, botched endings, 844-967-2789. We got Carmela from Milwaukee on the phone. Carmela, what is the worst TV decision of all time?
It has to be Game of Thrones.
The ending, the last season?
Yeah, just everything. Bran King, and just a couple episodes before he was named King, he's like, I can hold no titles. And, you know, and then all of a sudden he's like, why do you think I came all this way to be crowned king? It was just so ridiculous the whole last season. There's so many more.
I have to agree with you as far as like the investment of millions of people for well over a decade, basically over a decade, right? And like the intricacy and the details for so many seasons. And then like, let's just wrap it up. We're over this. And it's like how the last season felt.
Yeah, those two guys should.
Yeah, and I guess HBO offered to go longer so they could wrap it up. But the showrunners are the ones who decided, no, let's just kind of do it here.
The only good thing about the last season of Game of Thrones was I liked that the youngest daughter killed the Ice King.
But that whole war should have been a whole season.
The whole war could have been a whole season.
Yeah.
And then it did come out of nowhere. They were setting it up that it would most likely be somebody else, probably Jon Snow. And then she came out of nowhere. So
yeah.
I enjoyed that it was her, but at the same time, I was still kind of like, what? Wait.
So but also, and also like, I know. And the, like the fast development of Daenerys and the Mad Queen, it's like, that was like, you loved her for like 7 seasons until all of a sudden you're supposed to not love her. Like, I totally agree with you, yeah. Camilla.
It just made me mad. And like, and then she got that look, and then she just destroyed the whole city, you know, and she's talking about breaking the wheel, and then they turned it. And I was like, no, every time I do rewatch it, cause, and it makes me mad every time.
All right. Thanks so much for the call, Carmella. I have to agree with you that is up there, especially cause there were so many people invested in it that were let down. Let's go to Charles in Green Bay. Charles, what was the worst TV decision of all time?
Putting on Housewives of Anywhere.
Yay!
Housewives of New York, or Housewives of Dallas, or Housewives of you know, Conan Junction, or Housewives of Poughkeepsie, or whatever. You know, why do we give a damn about their show? Why do we give a darn about what's going on with their lives? The other fact of the matter is Keeping Up with the Kardashians. That one should have been canceled before it even got started.
I know Jane agrees with that one.
But the thing is that while
I'm sorry, but Jane and I are in the mode of sarcasm today.
Charles, I'm in the mode of sarcasm every day. But you and I and Cindy are going to have to get together and go drinking, because I think we'd have a ball.
Go drink it in the Fox Valley, Appleton, Green Bay.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the call, Charles.
Bye.
Sorry, couldn't hear. Greg, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, while those are terrible shows, those shows made billions of dollars, so those aren't going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, quality doesn't necessarily popularity does not equate quality.
Quality, but yeah. Speaking of billions of dollars and billions of dollars lost,
can we say the same time?
Well, what I'm going to say, the fact that this is like super, I think it's top 10 on the list, but the fact that NBC canceled Baywatch after the first season.
Oh,
so talk about a bad business decision. Yeah. That's on this list. And if you think about the millions, if not billions of dollars Baywatch has made since, but the fact that NBC had it for the first season and then we're like, nah.
Well, we're fine. We'll I was going to say my billion-dollar thing was when they launched Quibi in 2020.
Oh. What was Quibi?
Exactly.
See, that's the thing. I didn't even want to bring it up because I knew so many people. It was such a failure to launch that, like, I was living in Los Angeles at the time, and I was, like, trying to actively get a meeting with Quibi executives to try to pitch a show, but I was not famous, so they weren't taking anyone who wasn't already famous.
Yeah.
Because they had Chrissy Teigen, like every celebrity had these like 10-minute shows lined up that Quibi was going to be the next big thing.
Oh my God.
And it was basically literally they were going to launch, the pandemic happened, and TikTok started, and everyone's like, oh, here's a bunch of free content I can get on my phone.
Oh, wow.
Why would I subscribe and pay for 10-minute episodes? And it just, literally, what was it, Greg? $1.75 billion?
$1.75 billion. It started in April and ended in December, the same of 2020. But I was also going to lump that in with CNN Plus, which launched and canceled and went away within a month. I mean, it was crazy how much money was spent on these things, and they're
crazy.
Gone.
All right. Well, we got to take a break, but 844-967-2789. What are the worst TV decisions of all time? We'll come back with your texts and your calls, and we'll also let you know who's at the Laughing Tap this weekend. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Bye. Buck Tussle has been providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin before it was cool. Now we're celebrating the company and the bug that started it all. In honor of our mascot, Buford's birthday, and the anniversary of our company, we are giving new customers free service until 2024, and 5 current customers will win $1,000 each. For more details and to get Bug Tussle internet today, call 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Friday. It's the Big Ten opener on the road against Purdue. Our coverage begins at 4 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number 2 ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Be a comical one, they'll be standing in lines for those old hunky-tonks.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, along with Jane Matinair and Greg Bach, and we've been talking about the worst TV decisions of all time, according to, we saw this from Rolling Stone printed a piece about this, but we've also been taking your calls and texts on what you think is the worst TV decision of all time.
Charles from Green Bay called back, and he wanted to add Fox News parting way with Tucker Carlson.
Is the worst decision of all time?
Well, I mean, certainly...
I disagree with that.
But their ratings took a big hit when he left.
Mm.
But it was great for us.
And it's also, the whole landscape. But yeah. What would you say as far as what do you, we'll end on this. Do you agree with what number one was on the list?
Let's see here. My computer is not loading well on this article because it's a very long page. Yeah, no, I don't agree with this. So number one is NBC cancels Freaks and Geeks. It was a beloved show. It was an underground show. This is not number one to me.
Because I agree with you. Because I think their number two should have been number one.
Yeah, and their number two is NBC turns Donald Trump into a television titan, which, yeah.
Absolutely.
That, I think, has a much more grander impact on the scope of history than Freaks and Geeks getting canceled.
Absolutely. But the one I did notice, number 8, which is HBO, TNT, Showtime, FX, all turned down Breaking Bad.
Wow.
I mean, just have to imagine being the person who says, it's like the person at Decca Records is like, yeah, we don't want the Beatles. We're fine. The guitar rock is going out. It's fine. They won't be anywhere in a year.
We do have a couple texts as well. Mark from the SAC, Fox's cancellation of Firefly. Another one coming in from the 608. Worst TV decision, Fox canceling Firefly before all episodes had aired out of order. Another one for Firefly. And then...
Wow. I need to watch this show. Or maybe not, because I won't be satisfied.
It's a really good show.
And then, fun fact, Sheryl Crow sang a song on Cop Rock. We recently found it on YouTube. I'll have to see if I can find it, and I'll pull it for tomorrow.
Sheryl Crow sang on Crop Rock. Well, some of the other ones I thought were interesting is when Norm MacDonald got fired from SNL, but also David Spade and Chris Farley getting fired from SNL.
Chris Farley, I didn't realize they had fired him.
Yeah, they fired all three of them because they were just getting too big, too much money. Chevy Chase gets his own talk show that lasts 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the one that broke my heart the most is the people who played the Ropers on Three's Company got their own spinoff, and there was a thing in their contract saying if the show didn't last a season, they could come back. But when they left, they introduced Don Knotts' character, and the Ropers show lasted a year and a half, so when it got canceled, they weren't allowed to come back, and they lost their jobs. Like, that's just some nasty Hollywood stuff, in my opinion.
That's welcome to the entertainment business. Yep. Well, that was super fun. I will link the article from Rolling Stone to today's show notes so you can go check out and see which ones you agree with, which ones you forgot about, and which ones you think should have been on there, or what order. But that was super fun. And also super fun is going to the Laughing Tap.
Yes,
see
it is.
Comedy.
Yeah.
Stab some comedy, right?
Stab comedy. I stab comedy with you. And if you stab comedy this weekend, you might see Dan Schaefer, because Dan Schaefer told me he's coming to a show this weekend. So,
ooh, yeah, baby. That's so fun.
But we have Louis Katz coming to the Tap for 5 shows, Thursday, 2 Saturday, 2 Friday. Tickets are available, laughingtap.com. Very funny New York comic coming all the way out here. Finally get to see him. Very excited to see him. Jay, we got a clip?
We do.
I had this hippie roommate for a while. Her name was Juggle Sticks. She was super annoying. She insisted everything she bought had to be organic. She actually used, instead of a regular chemical-based deodorant, she used a crystal for deodorant. Anyone heard this before? Yeah? Yeah? You know how it works? Yeah, doesn't. All right? She stunk. Right? The crystal didn't summon some kind of B.O. fairy who magically made her pit smell like rainbows. She was a vegetarian who magically smelled like lamb shawarma, okay? It was disgusting. And it made me hungry. It freaked me out. One day, Juggle Sticks found a cat in the dumpster, brought him home, named him Dave Meowthews.
So, yeah, Louis will be here 5 shows at the Laughing Tap. Thursday to Saturday to Friday, laughingtap.com.
Nice. Tickets are a steal.
$20, no drink minimum. And then also, if you can't come to those shows, Sunday, Keg Stand-Up returns to Lakefront Brewery. That show is 6:30. There's a full menu before the show. Got 4 great comics from the region, Milwaukee and Chicago comics coming through for the Keg Stand-Up show. Those tickets are available at milwaukeecomedy.com. That's our other company. And then finally, if you love comedy and if you want to meet me how Kristen, Brian, and I met years ago, you can volunteer for the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. We're looking for volunteers right now. Volunteers get to come to shows. It's not a lot of work, just helping out. You might be asked to drive. If you have a car, that'd be great, because we have people doing things like running some errands if we need it. But go to mkecomedyfest.com/volunteers. Also, volunteers link is on the front page of mkecomedyfest.com.
That's an awesome idea and a great way to meet people and make some friends and check out the comedy scene in Milwaukee. That's terrific.
Yeah.
I would highly, not just because I got a friendship out of it, but as far as volunteer gigs go, you basically collect tickets and you tell people where to go if they're coming into like the Dandy or something like that, because you got to go sneak through the back. And but it is, you get to see a free comedy show, you get to meet new people. It is very fun. I would highly recommend volunteering. It's like, you know, it's like the people who couldn't get a Taylor Swift concert ticket, so then they just got jobs as security guards at stadiums. It's like basically the same thing.
Exactly. With less teenage girls.
Yes.
So, exactly. We got lots of stuff happening, and come on down, high five, and it'll be awesome.
All right. Well, you know, a little bit of a rough start this today, but we made it through.
Do you know why?
We revived.
Because we're professionals.
Why? We are professionals. And specifically, Jade.
Well, and we have a team. We have a team of engineers, and everybody pitches in when things go awry. So, thanks for everybody's help today, including Calvin and everybody. Casper,
thank you,
Corey, and Drew, and Brian, and everyone.
And thank you to everyone at home who let us know that, something's wrong. Because I would have kept just talking, and everyone would have been like, why is there no talking on the air?
Jane and Greg are having a weird conversation.
Yeah. So thank you so much for everyone who called in and texted today. Thank you to Alan Forsyth. Thank you, Greg Bach. Thank you, Jane Matinere. We will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. We got a new public service announcement. Paul Noonan will be here. So, yeah, come back tomorrow, 10 a.m. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids. 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM. From the home.